Welcome to episode 24 of the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm Greg Johnson, and today is Wednesday, May 27th, 2020. The topic for this episode is meditation. As we go through life, we are having a multi-sensory experience from one day to the next. It's music we listen to, food that we eat, nature that we see, things that we touch. All of the senses are engaged as we go throughout life. So our body really is this tool, this multi-sensory experiential measurement tool that connects us with the world. And like any measurement tool, it needs to be reset and recalibrated. Meditation aims to do just that. If you've ever held a small object with your arm outreached, you know that even though that small object, although it may not weigh very much, eventually will start to feel very heavy. Or if you're using a tool like a screwdriver over your head to work on something that's on the ceiling, at first you don't have any trouble doing that, but eventually fatigue sets in and that screwdriver feels like it's 20 pounds. If you take some time to rest and go back to doing your work with that screwdriver, it feels light again. So that's a simple description of how our body can get fatigued and tired and lose its precision in how we experience and process and think about and measure the world around us. And the same principle that we see at work in our muscles with fatiguing can happen with our vision, can happen with our taste or whatever. There can be these sensory overloads. That's why if you're at a wine tasting, you're encouraged to take a break between samples, rinse out your mouth. Or if you are smelling perfumes, often there will be coffee beans that a person can smell and sort of neutralize their sense of smell. But basically, there are these different things we experience with our different senses where we acknowledge, yes, we don't want to go too quickly or try to overconsume or overindulge the senses to the point that we can't differentiate between one flavor and another as precisely. Or if there's music playing, if the music is too loud, it gets distorted, either acoustically in the room or just it becomes too loud for our ears to process properly. And there can be, in addition to these examples of acute excess, there can be cumulative excess. So basically, if you go running every day and you run, let's say, 10 miles per day, eventually you will get some fatigues and some micro injuries, or maybe even more serious injuries that don't recover in the 24-hour period or less that you allow your body to rest and recover. With meditation, if we begin with a simple stretching, a calming stretching yoga practice with some different postures that stretch various muscles in the body, the legs, the back, the stomach, the shoulders, the neck, etc. This can allow our body to relax and get us ready to sit in a comfortable position for a period of time. So it's a good idea to begin meditation with a brief, not too intense, calming, stretching yoga exercise. And then during the meditation, a person can sit quietly, clear their mind. Hopefully you're in a quiet environment, or maybe you find meditating outdoors in nature is peaceful. But the idea is to reduce the stimulation to our various senses. So we wouldn't want toast burning in the toaster while we're meditating. We wouldn't want loud music playing. It's a time to take a break for the entire body, for all of the senses. And by doing the yoga, that preparation, that helps to ensure or improve your comfort as you're meditating. Some people will meditate for 20 minutes or more, but even a 5-minute meditation can be a very restful and impactful practice and activity. If you have an Apple Watch, you may have noticed that there is a function in there, a feature, that will time a breathing exercise. And if you want, you can go into that feature of your watch, and the crown dial knob on your watch can increase that breathing exercise to 5 minutes. So for some people who are just getting started, that can be a good tool to kind of set a timer and just shut out everything, rest, relax, and quiet your mind. It can be difficult sometimes to do this successfully, particularly if you have a lot to think about at work or at home, lots of items on your to-do list. It's hard to just sit for a few minutes and not think about those things. Having a meditation mantra can be helpful. A mantra would be a word or a phrase or a sound that you would think upon in your mind, and it can help you stay focused and help your mind stay cleared of everything except for that mantra. Some people will use guided meditation or guided relaxation audio or nature sounds. And if you find those tools helpful and effective, then that's certainly something to consider. But if you're interested in experimenting with a more quiet meditation that might have greater impactfulness in how it grounds you and brings tranquility, you might try just a quiet meditation, perhaps using a mantra to get you to the point of not having any other clutter in your mind, and then just sitting peacefully, tranquility can set in, and not having anything on your mind. So in addition to allowing the senses to have a respite from the noise and the overload, you can let your mind have a respite from that as well. In this multisensory experiential life that we're living, in addition to the things that we smell and taste and see and hear and touch, the realm of the mind and the realm of the emotions, those are also influencers. And those are primarily the areas of attention that we focus on throughout the day. There's something we're thinking about, there's something we're smelling. We go from one sensory experience to another, and that perhaps generates feelings or emotions or thoughts. And by having a meditation practice that does not attempt to engage the sense of hearing or the sense of smell or the thought process or the emotions, it can be a very deep and grounding experience. There are numerous books and audio tapes and video presentations and courses and workshops and practices that have been developed over thousands of years focusing on the topic of meditation. So it would be difficult to offer any new insights or brilliant revelations in a short podcast. But the purpose for this message in this episode is just to encourage people to return to meditation if they've not been practicing it recently, or for those who've not thought about it, to have just a simple introduction that might inspire them to consider pursuing meditation as a regular daily practice. And what you can expect, I think, for most people is an enhanced clarity and mental acuity, a sharpening of the senses, a greater ability to listen to others, greater empathy, because essentially it's heightening your sensory sensitivity. And think about the act of listening to somebody. If your mind is cluttered, you'll have trouble listening to someone. A significant part of communication and listening is not just hearing the words that someone is saying, but considering facial expressions, body language. Much of our language is not words, but hand gestures and nonverbal cues. So just the simple act of being empathetic and caring and listening can be improved through meditation. Something else you can expect from regular meditation would be to have a greater sense of creativity, and that can reduce stress. And here's how. Let's say there's a certain task that you do at work, or you're an entrepreneur and you're trying to figure out some way to better provide a service or product. Meditation can help heighten our ability to see the world around us and to better process creative thoughts. And so if we figure out a way to do something more efficiently at work, it takes less time and less effort. Or if we are an entrepreneur and we figure out some way to provide a greater service and greater effectiveness with less cost, then that reduces stress. It creates a better experience for ourselves and for those we serve. So there are many benefits to meditation, and you will have perhaps some that are unique to you. Keeping a meditation journal can be helpful for that reason, because either as you're meditating or perhaps shortly after a meditation, you might think of some new idea or a creative application for something, or you might think of someone that you've not thought about for many years, and you might want to reach out to them. And sometimes those are the moments when you call somebody or email someone or text them, and they say, "Oh, that's so weird, I was just thinking about you." So there are those synchronicity moments that you might start to notice, perhaps because they're happening more often, or perhaps also because you're more aware to what's going on in your life. But the creativity, the better ability to listen, the synchronicity moments, and these ideas that can come from meditation are all very beneficial. And that's why having the journal can be helpful. Meditation, in terms of its impact on our mind and our thought process, is perhaps similar to dreams. It's a deep state, and in the same way that some people will wake up from a deep sleep and they'll remember a dream, when someone finishes meditation or perhaps during the meditation, they can have similar creative insights. A visualization, something you see as a solution to a product or work process or flow, or some words that come to mind that can be helpful, just like a dreaming state. And even though the goal is to get your mind to a place of tranquility, these creative thoughts and helpful insights can rise to the surface. If you're someone who is involved in regularly helping people, either through working with a nonprofit, or if that's the nature of your business, is to help individuals and other businesses, then meditation can be very helpful because you have a lot of activities in your life that can be improved by applying creative solutions. And often, if you are a sole proprietor, a creativist, or an entrepreneur who is juggling a lot of projects and a lot of clients, then sometimes things can slip between the cracks. And that usually happens if you're overworked and overstressed. And these moments of quietness with meditation are a good opportunity to kind of tap into things that you might have forgotten. I'm hesitant to prescribe any specific practice or mantra or specific meditation guidelines, because just as we each tend to find an exercise routine or diet that works well for us that's unique and different from what works well for someone else, there can be approaches to meditation that are more effective for one person than another. So teachings that seem to prescribe a specific practice and suggest that that's the only practice that should be employed by everyone may be misguided. If there's a meditation technique, practice, teaching, or guideline that involves you spending a lot of money and joining an organization that has some what seem to be cult-like characteristics, and the organization has a living or dead charismatic leader with very devoted followers, you may want to distance yourself from that, or at least consider it to be something separate than meditation. So the meditation in itself is just you being quiet before the universe. That's the meditation. And these other organizations that are out there that are trying to enlist members, that's another experience entirely. It's more having something to do with religion or member building. Not that there's anything wrong with that. And there's some people that have positive experiences with organizations that some might consider to be sect-like or cult-like or harmful. There are always some people having positive experiences with those types of groups, but in general, it's something to be cautious about. In the same way that if you think about vegetarianism, a person can be a vegetarian without joining a church that advocates that, like the Seventh-day Adventists. That's a separate experience. So I mention that because there can be this kind of sometimes extreme devotion to a certain meditative practice or teaching, and it's important to separate the two. Well, here we are at the end of this episode. I appreciate you listening. I hope that this information has been helpful and thought-provoking, and that if you do choose to study and pursue meditation a little bit, that you find it rewarding. I appreciate everybody who subscribes to the podcast and who shares and clicks like and comments. And I look forward to sharing more with you again soon.